AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. That's right. It is Thursday. It feels all real weird out there right now. Eric is with me here today. It just, in case you have missed it, I mean, and the news breaks have been coming all day long. Pretty much every major sporting league is either now on hiatus or canceled. And as a matter of fact, the only one that was remaining up was March Madness, the NCAA major tournament. But in case you missed it, Kansas and Duke, two of the more premier programs in the country, have already said they're not going. And so my guess is going to be that we're not going to have March Madness here this year either, which is, once again, probably not the worst idea, as most people who have talked about the lackluster response that we've had here in the United States to coronavirus goes, they have said, probably a major cancellation of events would probably be, a good idea. I don't want to freak you out, Eric. I got my allergies.
I assume I have it already. So,
well, I mean, I don't have coronavirus. I've got allergies. I always get seasonal allergies. Once it starts warming up, something pops, and both my daughters get it. I get it. My wife doesn't get it as bad usually, but
that's the thing. Is all of a sudden it's like, I clear my throat over at the grocery store, and about 5,000 people run away in fear. I was like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, great timing for allergies.
Great timing for anything. I had a child friend whose child got hurt and they're twisting their ankle playing sports. And all of a sudden, the real fear is like, oh my God, I got to go to an emergency room. I got to go into a hospital. you're obviously a little concerned, trepidatious to say the least. Testing has now identified 9 cases of COVID-19 in Minnesota, with Hennepin, Dakota, Stearns counties now having their first cases. The case count was reported Thursday afternoon by the Minnesota Department of Health on its COVID-19 webpage. The results are based on tests so far of 316 patients. We are a state of 5.5 million people, and we have tested 316. Sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus. COVID-19 is respiratory illness caused by the novel coronavirus emerged out of China, blah, blah. This is, of course, Star Tribune, so I got to give all the background information in case anyone's, what do you mean people are getting sick? State health officials are preparing Minnesota to move from a strategy to containment to limiting the emergence of the outbreak in Minnesota to mitigation and reducing its impact once the coronavirus begins to spread from person to person in the community. They continue to urge people to stay home when sick and avoid spreading germs, and to take basic and social distancing precautions and cover coughs, wash hands frequently. Health officials on Thursday did not recommend any school closures, but did encourage them to limit large assemblies and gatherings and even consider regular health screenings of students, teachers, and visitors when feasible. Which brought the question is, like, why haven't you guys called I'm not saying you call the girls' state basketball tournament necessarily, but you're playing this empty stadiums, right? Apparently tonight they're going to play today's games. We're in Hopkins. The girls' basketball is going on right now. They've got a game tonight. Apparently, they're going to play tonight's games with crowds, and then tomorrow from here on out, it sounds like no crowds are going to be allowed in outside of family. That's I don't know that for sure. That's what my son was saying as he got out of the car out from school as I was leaving to come here. So I'm not sure exactly what that means, but
means they don't really know yet.
Yeah, they don't. Well, no, I think that they do know. I think it's just it sounds like tonight they are definitely going to have crowds there, but then tomorrow it does not sound like they're going to have crowds. That they're telling people to stay away for the weekend. Two large Twin Cities health systems responded Thursday with free online screenings via their virtual clinic programs to assess patients for COVID-19 risks. Patients who have no copays or other costs, if they use health partners, Virtual or My Health Fairview and OnCare systems to find out their cold and respiratory system merit testing for the illness, the two systems announced on Thursday. That's great. All you need is a computer. The free online screenings will provide instant information and concern patients without them having to leave home, potentially spreading germs. Social distancing is the key. Let me start off by talking about last night's speech.
President chose to spend Wednesday with top executives from the nation's biggest banks on Wednesday. They played the president's ego, told him the fundamentals of the economy are strong, that he made it that way. Okay. So they kissed his ass. But the psychology of the public needs to change, according to the New York Times' Maggie Haberman. That's why Trump delivered his disastrous primetime Oval Office speech on Wednesday night, which did anything but what he had hoped to accomplish. The markets were actually poised to open on Thursday morning up hundreds of points, a small improvement over the weeks of near daily triple and quadruple point losses. Let's see here if I get it. Let's see. Down for the day, down 2,352, 9.99%, just a smidge, just a tiny bit. It was actually poised to go up before he started talking. As a matter of fact, if you watch the futures market, he started talking, and by the time he got done talking, it was already down. By the time it was like 10 o'clock last night, it was already down like 800 points. As Trump began speaking to the American people, the markets heard what he was saying and not saying, and futures tanked. Dow futures dropped over 1,000 points within minutes of Trump finishing his short speech, and just minutes into Thursday's open, the Dow dropped so far it triggered automatic circuit breaker, pausing trading for 15 minutes. What Trump was saying and not saying was a result of a decision in turn of the two people he often turns to in crisis, his 39-year-old son-in-law, who he made senior advisor to the president, the grossly outmatched Jared Kushner, and 34-year-old senior advisor for policy and white nationalist Stephen Miller. Calling it vintage Trump, the New York Times reported the president blamed Europe and Chinese people for bringing the outbreak to the United States, describing it ominously as a foreign virus, language that reflected the isolationist views of the chief speechwriter Miller, who alongside Kushner, the president's son-in-law, helped draft the address. Trump also repeated another theme that he viewed the virus as something that was inflicted upon him from a foreign country. He wanted to discuss our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak that started in China and is now spreading throughout the world, he said. It's no wonder, given the people Trump turned to write the speech, that it was riddled with errors, important errors that have injected fear, more fear into the hearts of Americans. For example, Trump said his ban on all travel to the U.S. from Europe, with an exception to the U.K., where he owns several golf resorts, applied to almost all. To keep new cases from entering their shores, we'll be suspending all travel from Europe and the United States for the next 30 days. Trump told the American people Wednesday night there'll be exemptions for Americans who have undergone appropriate screenings, and those prohibitions will not only apply to the tremendous amount of trade and cargo, but various other things we get approval. Anything coming out of Europe to the United States, that's what we are discussing. Apparently, none of that was true. And by the way, no one in Europe knew that he was going to say this. No one in Europe knew he was going to say this. They were all stunned by this. So he does this last night. Thursday mornings, I usually go grocery shopping. And I head over to, I'm at the Cub Foods over at Nolan. That's where I'm at. Now, I usually shop over there in the weekdays in the morning sometime during the week because it's a really good time to go. There's not a lot of people there. Everything's pretty well stocked. Well, the night crew just got done. So, yeah, it goes pretty easy. So I get into the store, and almost immediately, I pull into the parking lot. I noticed there seems to be a lot of people here. And that's when I noticed coming out of the store were about 15 to 20 people. This is 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. All of them carrying toilet paper. And some of them like running with it like it's some sort of, you know, prized possession that they have. The Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I've got the golden ticket sort of thing, running down the street with a package, like a Tuscan Sand Raider, running down the street with the damn thing. Seriously, I was like, what in the world is going on? And I got in there, and thankfully, if you've ever been to that store, the pharmacy's on like on the left side, and I'm going grocery and I'm going to get my stuff. But it was at that point that I noticed that the store did seem to be not nearly as well stocked as usual. I mean, usually I'm one of the first people in there. There was quite a few more people in there than usual. And I'm not saying that the shelves were empty, but definitely people have been shopping. And so, you know, that it's nice to know that Trump basically speaks. Doesn't address anything that anyone wants to hear. How many cases are there? What are we going to do about these cases? The testing? Nothing. Nothing about that. Points fingers at Europe, points fingers at China, accuses them of trying to hurt him. You know, puts out a flight ban, which no one knows anything about, not even the countries he's banning flights from. I mean, think about that. At that moment, it's like, what if you're on a flight from Paris to the United States? Am I going to be able to land?
I've got a flight coming back from Europe in about a month, so I don't know.
I don't know if you're going to be on that flight.
What's going to happen there?
This is a textbook case. This could be the absolute worst speech I have ever seen by a president in a time of crisis. I'm dead serious. This could literally be the worst speech. And you know how bad it was? All the evangelicals almost at once today posted pictures of them praying. The coronavirus team praying. It's like, look at them. They're praying. I don't give a rat's. Will you stop praying and actually do some freaking testing of coronavirus? I guarantee you, if there was the testing going on, you know who would be testing people? Jesus. Although his testing system was pretty good. I mean, once you have a religious disclaimer, you do or don't do whatever it is you want to do or not. I mean, he was like, boom, guess what? You're cured. But, I mean, it was a different thing. Lazarus, dig. You know. Different kind of, but I mean, if you have the, I'm pretty sure Jesus is like, okay, all right, great, I hear you. Okay, get moving, go get the testing kits out there. What are you doing sitting in a room talking about how we all love Jeebus? That's great. Get your butts in gear. You are some of the few people in this country right now that could actually make something happen, and you're doing nothing. On top of this, by the way, on top of this, you have Republicans screaming that, no, we have to have the payroll tax. We have to kill Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare if we're going to help people with coronavirus. We have to give bailouts to wealthy people if we're going to get people help from coronavirus. This morning I posted about Germany, and this is an LA Times article. Germany and the United States had the first cases of coronavirus appear at the same time. Germany, I believe it was, they said it was last week, was able to test 35,000 people in that week. They're up to being able to test 12,000 people a day in Germany, country of 85 million. They are well on their way of getting, you know, trying to get everyone tested. They're calling in other facilities. They're basically doing what they need to do. We here in the United States, supposedly the best healthcare system on the planet, we are barely over 10,000 people tested. As a matter of fact, at CNN last night, Sanjay Gupta, asked Don Lemon to read how many tests that the CDC performed that day. Zero.
Less tests mean less confirmed cases, Matt.
Honestly,
I think that might be part of it.
No, it is 100% part of it. The entire thing. What is the whole thing? Media is wrong for telling people that this outbreak is going on. Just be quiet, let people get sick, and be done with it. I have never been truly afraid about what is going to happen in my life. I am not if you've listened to the show, I am not one of these people that run to the stores and get everything. No, I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not an alarmist. I am not one of these people. I generally take things in stride. But I'll be damned if I'm going to say with the current crop, with the Republican Party, and clearly, and tell you what, I'm going to take a break and come back. I'll explain exactly what's wrong with the Republican Party and exactly what's wrong with our medical industry in this country. Because right now, both of them are failing us and failing us badly. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
Did you realize that Drink in the Style is available on iTunes, Google Play, and pretty much every other podcast platform out there? You can listen to past episodes of Drink in the Style, or maybe download our really cool martini glass graphic, or just listen to your favorite episode again and again. But if you do, I need to ask you for a quick favor. Hop online and give us a 5-star rating. It helps others find the show and also boosts my fragile ego. Drink in the Style. It's a great way to kill Sundays, or really, any time at all.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rymark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's featured idealist is Rose Pastor Stokes, who pushed for labor unions and legalized birth control at the beginning of the 20th century. The big interview is with Nick Elm of the nonprofit Mosier. He's back for an update on his idealistic work. In my C block, I talk about serendipity and change of trajectory. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Coming up here in just a little bit, Neil Loydolt's going to join us, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. They, of course, doing a lot to try to end homelessness for vets. We're going to talk with him about what they've been up to and the things that they've been working on. That comes up here in just a moment, 952-946-6205. Okay, so the American medical system is very good. It is. It's the top. It is unbelievable. Probably the best medical in the world. It was never about quality. The problem with our medical system is never about quality. It's about accessibility. We are unsurpassed when it comes to serious diseases that, you know, cost, you know, frankly, thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to treat. There is no better country on the planet to be in than the United States of America, because we put a ton of money into that. Also, the secondary medical market, facial surgery, boob jobs, hair implants, stuff like that. We put a lot of money into that because that's money making. Anything that makes a pretty decent profit margin, as far as medicine goes, whether that's a serious illness or one of these supplementary medical issues, we're great at. Where our medical system is horrifically inadequate is being exposed right now. It is not designed for basically a major problem, a major illness. It is not designed for the poorest of us, the neediest of us. It really isn't. And no, emergency rooms are not the answer. That just go to the emergency room. That should not be the answer, because most people won't go because they can't afford a, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 emergency room visit. They can't. We, in this country, that is the failure of the medical system. This is why the Affordable Care Act is out there. This is why Medicare for All is popular. It's not the top. A wealthy guy from Edina who, God forbid, gets cancer, he's fine. As a matter of fact, my God, there is no better place on the freaking planet for that guy to be. He's got the money. The doctors are lined up. They can go to their vacation properties when it's all done. They love it. The drug companies get a profit. The hospitals get a profit. The health care companies, the insurance companies get a profit. Everyone's happy with that guy. But when it's the guy who lives in South Minneapolis who's basically working three jobs and he doesn't have any money and doesn't have any health insurance, and he's got two kids and he's trying to get them trying to keep them safe. That system, there is a massive amount of failure, because even if we did get a massive influx of cases for coronavirus, tests for coronavirus so we could test for it, the vast majority of those would be going to Edina, Eden Prairie, Wayzata, Woodbury, that Stillwater, Marine on St. Croix. That's where they would go. They would go to the wealthy people first and eventually might trickle down, after the companies have made their profit. See, that's the problem with the system, is that it is woefully inadequate to deal with this because it's based on a profit margin model. And the reality is when we have an epidemic, you really shouldn't be concerning yourself with profit margins, just preserving the population of your country. And that escapes most of these people because they only give a rat's ass about money. Which brings me to the Republicans. Donald Trump, I mean, when you guys elected him, you elected him because you loved him, because he owned the libs. That was it. You felt he was willing to dress you guys down like you should be. You brought in the probably the all-time grandest narcissist of all time. Self-centered, arrogant jackass, and you made him president because you liked how he talked down to those Democrats. And that's the truth. It is. And now you're seeing the failure here. You have a guy where empathy is incapable. He is incapable of empathy. He doesn't give a rat's ass about us. He doesn't. He does not care. He does not care about whoever you are. He doesn't. He only cares about himself, his money, his big buddies that he wants to impress, and that's it. And the Republican Party, they started bleeding out empathy years ago. I mean, Jim Ramstad and I, we didn't agree on a lot of things, but at least Jim Ramstad had a slight bit of conscience. The Minnesota Senate passed a emergency insulin bill, and they act as if they basically should be anointed as saints, for God's sakes. 20 years ago, the Republicans would have passed that bill, wouldn't even batted an eye. But now it's, aren't we the best? Yeah, after you basically were ripped to shreds for your lack of caring about people with diabetes working in that can't afford insulin. The Republican Party has purged empathy from the rolls, and that is why you have people out there saying, I'm willing to try to help people, but we need another tax cut for billionaires before I'll even think about it. Really? After the 78th, 90th tax cut we've given billionaires in the last 40 years? You think they need another one before you're going to take care of this problem? I'll tell you what, if you want the money to deal with this, give a 6-month hiatus to the Trump tax bill. I guarantee you, you'll get tons of money then. And then you'll be able to take care of the citizens of this country. I have never seen, it truly is unbelievably tragic, that the first thing that is suggested when we have this major crisis is to kill Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. That is, they're trying to use an epidemic to get rid of government programs they don't like. And the crazy thing is, there are a lot of Republicans who are like, this is our chance. This is our chance. Let's kill this now. Do you want the life-saving drug? Well, then sign off on the killing of Social Security. First of all, I'll tell you what, I'll start the class action lawsuit myself. If you kill Social Security, I want my money back. I put money into Social Security my entire life. I want my money back. Because you can't just wipe that money away and say, oh, well. This is the grandest problem. This exposes, this coronavirus has exposed the Republican Party for the failures that they have, their lack of empathy, the fact that they just don't care about their constituents anymore. They care about the people that get them elected, and they care about the job that they'll get after they're done with their political service. That's all they care about. The medical industry is great if they can make money off you. But if they can't make money off you, well, they suck. I mean, my God, have you gone into an overnight clinic, an instant clinic, or one of those, you know, emergency clinics that they put out there? What's the first thing they say? Do you have a credit card? Do you have insurance? You don't have insurance. Well, do you have a credit card? We can't really see you if you don't have a credit card or insurance. Or, you know, we'll see you, but it's going to be about 7 hours. This is not a – this – the reason why every other country on the planet is dealing with this better, including countries we have looked down upon, is because they're caring about their people more than they're caring about the money. And the failure of America right now and why this is going bad so quickly is the only thing anyone in this country cares about right now is money, not the people who are getting sick and not the people who are dying. They're desperate. Eric was right. They are desperately trying to get the media to never talk about that, never talk about the people who are sick. Put only, isn't Trump great propaganda a la North Korea on the air? And in the end, we are in big trouble here. Because I guarantee you this, the NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NHL, college sports, they don't cancel everything. They're big money-making ventures. These are for-profit businesses. They don't cancel everything if they aren't scared. Think about that. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll change directions when we do come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
At AM 950, we strive to bring you the news you care about. And the TuneIn app lets you take us anywhere you go. TuneIn delivers all the news that matters to you right on your phone. Get breaking news from local and national networks and listen to your favorite AM 950 hosts like Matt McNeil and Brett Johnson. You can even listen to MSNBC without commercials. Plus, TuneIn takes you in-depth with all your favorite news podcasts. Go to your app store to download TuneIn and start listening for free.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed. Also, the Army National Guard's education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
You want a fast way to save hundreds of dollars? It's easy with Rudy Luther Toyota. Start with the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as discounted car washes. Plus, Rudy Luther offers 2 years of maintenance included with every new Toyota purchase. And remember, Rudy Luther Toyota wants to buy your cars and trucks, paying you top dollar. Find out how much you can save by visiting Rudy Luther Toyota today, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, Alex of Better Futures Minnesota. Does your business or organization need janitorial services, lawn care, or snow services? Obtain a free, no-obligation estimate from Better Futures Minnesota when you mention that you heard about us on AM 950. Our supervised, hardworking, and affordable crews will handle your interior and exterior building and property maintenance needs while you help men in your community transform their lives and walk on a positive path to success. It's a win-win. To learn more, go to betterfuturesminnesota.com under business services.
By the way, I should mention one thing about crooners, which is really nice, is that they were just named one of the top jazz venues in the world. Crooners Lounge and Supper Club. If you've not been up there, great music, a lot of concerts coming through. Check out their schedule over at crooners.com. I've got the link up on the social media pages. Crooners Lounge and Supper Club, the localminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Neil Leudolt is the president and CEO of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. He been with MACV since February of 2017. Also was with the Minnesota National Guard, and he is in charge of that group. He's a general. So, I, you know, for me, as a veteran here, I'm going to – I have to call him sir. It just is the way – it's just – I have to do that. He is kind enough to here today to join us to talk about a problem which is we've talked about numerous times on this show, has become much more of a problem that we are aware of, and that is homelessness within veterans. And Neil is kind enough to take the time. Neil, thank you very much. I appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me on this afternoon. It's my pleasure.
My absolute pleasure to have you on as well. I'm glad your organization, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, has they've actually had a pretty good success rate at fighting homelessness for veterans.
Yeah, we've been at this now. This is our 30th year, so we're trying to, you know, learn some things along the way, and we have our foot pretty well established in the community. So this has been a really transformative sort of year for us with some changes in the model and really trying to come together with all the partners in the state to try and address the, you know, the chronic, the long-term homeless, the homeless that are on the registry in Minnesota.
I have to tell you, from my own personal experience, I think that we've definitely made a lot of improvement. From I got out of the military in 92. I was stunned at the amount of people that were having problems. I have a cousin who is in the Gulf 2, and he basically was, you know, because of trauma there, he had a lot of problems. It took him a long time to come back. Now he's actually a merchant marine sailing ships on the Great Lakes, and so he actually was able to recover that way. But it was stunning to me that the people that we have go fight for this country, serve this country on this level, that there is just – and it was an insane amount of homelessness that when I got out of the military, kind of people should shrug and, eh, that's a shame. But that has changed, and we are starting to get much more awareness and realizing that not only homeless as a whole is bad, but especially for homeless veterans, we have to make sure we help these people out after they served our country.
Yeah, I agree with you there. You know, veterans as a whole tend to be a tough lot. And so there's an awful lot of I'll just go it my own. When people get out, when they finish their service, move back, move wherever they're going to go, and I think, you know, I'll just tough my way through this thing. That's what I think I've done, or that's what I did do in my service, and I'll do it again. And the challenge we find with that is it continues to move you further and further along on the spectrum to not wanting to ask for help, not being comfortable asking for help, or maybe not even knowing how to ask for help. And so I think more so than anything, it's the awareness of the issue for people that want to support us, but it's also the awareness of the service to veterans and a real hard look at the stigma so that folks think it's, you know, it's not only is it okay, you should go ask for help, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how most of us handled our service. Very few of us taught ourselves to do whatever it is that we did, jump out of airplanes, shoot howitzers, or run the armed forces radio, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody trained us and talked us through that, and that's what we try to do with the veterans that we help.
Talk about your program here, because once again, you've had success here, and you just talked as well about some changes you guys have made. Talk about the strides you've been able to make, the fight that you, the good fight you've been winning with homelessness, and talk about some of these new changes that have come your way.
Yeah, you know, the macro number says since about 2014, when we started paying attention, you know, we've reduced veteran homelessness by over 50%, pretty close to 60%. The sort of the hands-on micro way we do that at MACV is we deal in housing, employment, and, you know, and we have a small team of really dedicated volunteer lawyers throughout the state that help with small legal issues that might keep you from both housing and employment. But the thought here, housing first, is that we need to get you into a stable place to live right off the bat. It's very difficult to work on your addiction, your mental illness, or the physical disability that is often combined with those two. Mm-hmm. If you're living in your car or on the train or in your brother's basement or your semi or all these places that we find veterans. And so let's get you stabilized first so that you can pay attention, and then we can work with you to get connected to the existing resources in the community that might be able to help you move forward.
I know that not only do you deal with housing, but you also deal with transitional housing. I mean, what you just described there, people out there, if you're listening right now, they're missing a lot, because there's a lot of people that to get them, there are these stigmas. There is, you know, once again, the mental health issues or drug issues. And to get people to get them into housing and get them into a more productive environment, it generally is sometimes is not easy, because a lot of the fight there is just the feeling that it's impossible for that person to get ahead. And it sounds like your organization really works with them, saying, okay, we're going to stabilize you here. This is, you know, this is kind of like we do in the military. When I saw this too, we stabilize them, we get them moving forward. That's the goal. And it's, as you just sort of said that there, it's just, there's a lot of work there this is complicated. It's difficult, but you know, you can get results if you know how to approach, especially when you're talking about military veterans, there's specific ways you want to approach that.
You've really got to build that trust as soon as you possibly can. You know, sometimes when people, not just veterans, have been struggling for a long enough period of time, they just don't think that they're going to be successful. They can't see a way forward, and they give up on themselves a little bit. And making that connection so that people feel a connection and maybe even an obligation at times to someone else is a very important thing. I've had some of our veteran clients say to me, "Hey, sir, you know what? I think I just need a sergeant. I need a sergeant to help me figure this out or push me in the right direction." And that's what our case managers do once they have an opportunity to establish that connection, because the services do exist, and you've got to get people to a point or find people at a point when they're, you know, when they're ready, willing, and able to take that help.
And when you say that, Sergeant, I can tell you, folks, if you're listening to me right now, Sergeant Hines was my sergeant. Great guy. And, you know, and you're exactly right, though. I mean, it's you have these people, and it's a different relationship. It's, you know, a kind of a pseudo boss, dad, coach, you know, friend. And, you know, if you don't understand that relationship, I had Sergeant Hines. He was a great sergeant. And I talked to him not that long ago, and he was telling me, you know, gave me some advice, and he was exactly right. You need to have that kind of relationship. And once again, that's not something that you can find generally without having people that are involved in the military to understand that concept.
Right. That's where it's helpful to have, you know, some members of our team, and we are about 70% veteran, but there are plenty of non-veteran supporters out there. There are plenty of people that have big hearts and have a lot of passion and think veterans deserve better care. And they don't have to be veterans themselves to be able to do that. So a diverse case manager team and a diverse staff has served us very well here in the last couple of years.
Once again, joining us, Neil Leutold. He is the CEO and president of the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. You working statewide here. What have you, know, you talked a little bit about in the last year there have been some changes. What has been going on with MACV?
So we've, about 18 months ago, we built some programming specifically for women veterans, and we dedicated some of our transitional housing to women veterans because we found that without an option, that women veterans are less likely to come forward. If you don't think there's any help for you, and it's already difficult to raise your hand for help, well, who raises their hand for help that doesn't exist? We're trying to expand some of our transitional housing to give folks an opportunity to live a little closer to where they work or where their family is, and to spend some time in there, save up a little bit, fix their credit rating, not have an eviction for a while. We've made some inroads with respect to veteran families. Right, so the kids don't have to move 6, 7, 10 times within a single school year as they're moving from sort of one homeless situation to the next. And lastly, we're just trying to be as effective as we possibly can be with the resources that we get from, you know, our generous community partners, to look at where it's effective for us to use cash and where cash is not a solution. And the solution is that sort of face-to-face, that personal connection, that follow-up. You know, the time of our staff, not as much as the, you know, a check or some money.
I find it very interesting, because that's not something we talk a lot about, is homeless female veterans, homeless veteran families as well. I mean, I'm presuming we've seen a rise here because obviously we've had combat situations where and more opportunities for women in the military. I'm presuming those numbers are increasing, unfortunately, correct?
Yes, the number of, noted, the number of women's enlisting is increasing, which means we're making more women veterans, which means, you know, we'll have more homeless women clients. We also find that that tends to be where the family goes. And so as we are serving more women veterans, we're finding ourselves along the way serving more families as we figure out where dependent kids are, what sorts of help and services they need. And frankly, if you think in the back of your mind, whether it's logical or not, that by coming forward you could lose custody of your kids, you don't come forward.
Well, absolutely. Which brings us to some of the other programs here you guys are dealing with, not only the, you know, dealing with people, getting people into to homes, into some sort of shelter here, but as well into, you've got the vet law program. Talk a little bit about that. You've got lawyers working across the state.
I mentioned that a bit ago, right? So it's just a small team in our office of four people that coordinate for 500 plus lawyers who do volunteer legal services throughout the state. So 20 some vet law clinics. That's where we bring the lawyers and all the services together to a central location in a city or town and try to deal with as many problems as we can. But we're also once a month over at the Minneapolis VA for a full clinic, and once a quarter out in Anoka, where we find another big draw. And so what we're doing there is we're working on fines, fees, evictions, some child support issues, divorce issues, etc., to try to remove that portion of the hurdle from, you know, either a veteran's finances, their ability to keep paying their rent. In the case of evictions and some of those actions, we want to be able to get them back into a regular rental market rate apartment. It's tough to do with a 1% vacancy rate in the metro area if you've got a little bit of a sheet of, you know, of challenging problems. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges we face right now is if you lose your driver's license, for whatever reason, it's pretty difficult for you to maintain your employment. There's not a sufficient number of employers who live right off of the green line for us to just be able to rely on that. And so our team helps folks with that as well.
You're talking about your work programs as well. One of the things I was reading in your 2018 perspective here, in 2018 you placed 134 veterans in employment, an average hourly wage of $17.51. There you go. You're getting people off the street. You're getting them into homes. You're getting them the legal help they need. And then they're getting a job which, you know, is at least going to be able to stabilize them. I mean, that is the real goal, is the stabilization, get them charging forward on their own. There's got to be a lot of businesses stepping up because, you know, veterans are a desirable hire group.
There is. And I should say I'm so very proud of the work that our jobs team does. You know, that $17+ an hour rate, that's well above any
yes.
of the standards that come with our grants. It's on our way to $18 because that's what they figure. We
nice.
Figure is the wage you need to be able to not just pay your rent, but keep your car running and be able to get some groceries and those sorts of things along the way. So we do. We partner a lot with the employers, you know, in the areas where we find ourselves, but also with the job training people. So our jobs team is small. They're more like really high-speed job navigators. They will help you as a veteran find the things that you need, and as an employer, if you're a willing employer, we will help you find the type of veteran, because it's not as simple as, I got a job, you're a veteran. You know, here you go, we have a happy match. We can do that, and that takes us the wrong way on the spectrum towards long-term, you know, job stability. We need you to be in a job that you can be in, that's good for you, that works for your employer, and that allows us to continue to help you with all the other challenges you have.
Neil, obviously a lot of great work here. I want to drive as many of my listeners to help you guys out as possible. How can people get in touch with McAfee and give you guys a hand?
You know, we will take and find our gracious donors wherever they want to be found. And so you can find us on the web at MAC-V. You can find us on Facebook. We're LinkedIn. You can come to our office. You can call us. You can see us at clinics or any of these number of other places. And if absolutely none of those work for you and you happen to maybe be in the outstate, you can find your way to your local county veteran service officer and say, hey, I'd like to get connected with McAfee. Can you show me the way?
Absolutely. And I mean, right now, Neil, and I'm going to speak for Neil here just really quick. If you are a veteran right now and you're having problems, you're homeless, you're concerned, you don't know where to go, contact McAfee. I'm a veteran, too. I know what it's like to go through tough times. And, you know, once you're a member of the military, you're part of a big family here. And we want to help you. So if you need help, get in touch with McAfee. If you would like to help donate and help this organization do their good work, I will link to everything on the social media pages a little bit later on.
Great. Thanks for that.
Neil, one thing, I hope you don't mind me asking you a question aside from this, because I'm going to post the Living Daylights of the McAfee stuff. But I was reading your bio a little bit. And I know, once again, when you were serving as a general, a major general within the Minnesota National Guard, at one point you were possibly going to get deployed. I don't think you did get deployed to Liberia, potentially deal with Ebola. And but you were there and you saw, you kind of were getting upgraded and stuff and getting information. Obviously, as a top leader, you were kind of getting a top-down look at the process here. If you don't mind me asking, if it's okay, do you have any thoughts about what's going on right now with coronavirus, how you're seeing this from the unique position of where you have been and what you had seen before?
You know, I'm only able to read what everybody else reads and see what's available. So I don't want any listener to think I've got some sort of inside information here. I think what we focused on an awful lot as we were trying to prepare a group from Minnesota to deploy to Liberia and deal with something potentially more significant in terms of the Ebola threat, was to try to create confidence in them in the things that still work and that actually do work. And so that's what I would suggest to folks as we try to wade our way through how this turns out. Turn away from as much of the uncertainty as you can. I didn't say ignore it. I said turn away from it. And pay attention to the things that you know work, the social systems that work, the relationships that work for you, the things that will keep you from, you know, feeling such a level of fear and anxiety that you can't think straight, right? And so I think runs on groceries and hoarding and stockpiling, you know, that's probably not going to prove to be very helpful and or effective, because at the end of the day, if it should continue to, you know, grow to some level, which that's what the experts are saying, not me, that's what the experts are saying, then we've got to be in a position where we find our, you know, fellow citizen, you know, our fellow human being, as not some competition for us or something that is a threat to me relative to this crisis, but as somebody or something that I need to be able to make my way through it. And, you know, maybe they need my help, just like we were talking about those veterans that are looking for a good sergeant. Sometimes what your neighbor needs is a little help from you and a little kindness, and not you buying the last roll of toilet paper out from under them.
Neil, what you just said there reminded me of so many military briefings I got. But it's perfect.
Well, that is my training.
Well, it is perfect. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break. Neil, I appreciate it. Neil Leutold, once again, CEO of Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, MACV. Help out if you can. I'll make links to everything out there. A lot of great work that they're doing. Neil, anytime you want to come back on my show, you are more than welcome, my friend.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the offer, and I appreciate what you're doing to educate people about veteran homelessness and the rest of your topics.
My pleasure. Trust me, you guys are doing all the heavy lifting, so I appreciate your time. Neil Leutold, we'll take a break. When we come on back, I want to expand a little bit what he said and explain to me why that is the best freaking bit of advice you're going to get all day long. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, weeknights here on AM 950. With the 2020 election upon us, all the stops are now coming out to suppress the vote. Whether it's photo ID, bad voting machines, or just plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and more. Right here on The Bradcast, every weeknight, now at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at moestax.com. That's moestax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can go solar with All Energy Solar, even way up north in Minnesota. Lots of people ask them, isn't Minnesota too cloudy for solar? No. The truth? For one thing, Minneapolis gets nearly as much sun each year as Houston, Texas. But it isn't just about how much sun you get. It's also about having access to great local incentive programs that make solar affordable. Learn what your options are to save with solar and visit allenergysolar.com today.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
We're breaking out.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Here's what I want to say about what Neil Loydolt said that is important is that is such a military mindset. That is such a military mentality that, okay, so if you're in the combat zone, what do they tell you? What's working? Are your legs working? And I'm dead serious. You do the inventory. Yes, my legs are working. Good. Legs work. You can walk. That's your first step. Are your arms working? Everything working? Does your weapon work? No? Yes? Good. Yes? Okay. If it does work, great. You move ahead. You find out what you've got. You evaluate what is working, and you move from there. It doesn't mean you ignore the bad stuff. It's that you can't control the bad stuff. So if you let the bad stuff overwhelm you, you're not going to succeed. Focus on the good. Focus on the good. That's the key. And Neil, that is just... that is the advice I want to send you with. Focus on the good, okay? And I understand there's a lot of bad going on right now, but do you have your family? Do you have kids? Do you have a place to live? Do you have a library? A library? The libraries are good. Do you have parks near your home? Do you have a dog? Do you have a cat? Do you have TV? Do you have the internet? Do you like to write? Do you like to paint? Do you like to just sit and talk with friends? Well, then do those things. Keep the positive in front of you, all right? Class is saying St. Paul Public Schools. I did want to just keep an update on this really quick here. We're canceled for Thursday. Teachers prepare to strike for a third straight day. The district's first strike of its kind since 1946. Negotiations with the district teachers have pushed for more resources, including mental health staff, interpreters, nurses, other support professionals. They also want increases in wages for themselves and for the district and the union to work together, lobbying the state for education funding. The district isn't budging, though. According to the Star Tribune, negotiations broke off about 3 a.m. on Tuesday after 6 long days of mediation. They haven't resumed since. If anything, relations appear to be getting worse. On Tuesday, Wednesday, Minnesota obtained a letter. Workday Minnesota obtained a letter from the work district to its teaching assistants, who are represented by different union, Teamster Local 320. It didn't mix words. I am writing to inform you that as a result of the current strike, you will be placed on a layoff status. The purpose of this communication is to notify you that you should strike continue. Your last day of employment will be March 23rd. So basically, they're trying their hardest to use, you know, some workers against the other workers. This is very 1930s strike buster kind of stuff there. I stand with the teachers in St. Paul. They are trying to make those schools better. All my best teachers, do not back down. Do not back down. You are fighting the good fight. And we, you know, a lot of bad news out there, but I haven't forgotten about you. We'll continue to keep the spotlight focused on you as well. Be safe. Keep the positive in front of you. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.